All I ask is I ask you for to get 1% better. I'm not asking you for 2, 3, 1% better every day. And if you get 1% better, that's going to take you to where you got to go, right? And that's what it's going to mean. And you're going to learn what it means to be a Raven. It's going to learn what it means to be a Raven, and you're going to be willing to put in that hard work. We're going to put you through it, and we're going to get you better.
Hello and welcome to At the 55, your home for OUA football. Me and Tom are back on the mics for the newest episode of the Exit Meeting Interviews. We're talking Carleton Ravens football. And Tom, I got to throw it right at you because I'm so excited to get to our guest. How the heck are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing so well, especially with knowing who our special guest is here, someone that I greatly admire and have loved to have seen everything that he's been doing with these Carleton Ravens. We have head coach Corey Grant in the building. We are so excited to have you here, coach.
Hey, I'm pumped up to be here. Appreciate you guys. Love the work that you're doing, and I'm excited to be on with you this evening.
Well, it's truly our honor and our pleasure. You know, it's 2 years into your time with Carleton, coming off of your time with Mac, and I know me and Tom are both really curious about some of the similarities stylistically of what we've seen from when you're with Mac, what we're seeing at Carleton. But you go 5-3 that first year, you lose in the first round to Laurier, undefeated during your whole home record that season, which is a tremendous feat. This year, 4-4, a really tight battle against Windsor. And I think me and Tom going into it were saying that 5-3, we weren't, being completely honest, we weren't thinking that was a true testament to just where you were as that 5-3. And in many ways, I feel like the 4-4 was a way more impressive record than the 5-3. When you look at this 2 years into your tenure here, you know, as we know, progress is never linear the way we like to envision it being. But from our standpoint, there's been a clear growth in this program under you, and we'll get into the specifics of it. But 2 years into it, can you share any insight into any sort of long-term vision you might have had as far as what you were walking into, who you knew was there, what you felt about your own philosophy coming into the program, and just where you thought it would be along the way and kind of where you're picturing it going?
Yeah, great question there. A lot for me, I guess, coming in as the new head coach, you always say, oh, I'm prepared for this. I'm ready for this. Let's go and do it. And then you get in the seat and you sit in the job and you're like, okay, I'm responsible for everything. And then everything starts bombarding you and going at you. And you're like, you've talked to guys. I talked to head coaches that I've worked with before that were in this position. Talked with Coach P before I left Mac and all of those things. And everybody's giving me all this great advice. But then when you sit in there, things happen that you just don't, you're not ready for, right? And you just have to stay. And the one thing I got was stay true to who you are, right? And who I want to be and what I see the vision is for the program. So coming in that first year, it was more about building a foundation and letting the guys know who I am and my expectations, right? And yeah, we went 5-3 and we had some good games and people look at it a little bit differently. Well, you didn't play, I don't think we played Western that year or stuff like that, but it didn't matter. We only could play who we had in front of us. And the biggest thing, the challenge for me was getting the guys to buy in to what I was saying and getting them to believe in what that was. And I learned after the season, a lot of the older guys said they didn't buy in really until halfway through the season. That first year, the guys that were leaving and, you know, you have your exit meetings at the end. So that was big. And then even for myself, everything's new learning, right? Like we had to go to Laurier. And when I was at my previous place before, we didn't travel as far. But when you come to Carleton, everywhere is a road trip. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We just went on day trips and came back, but everything's a road trip. You got to plan for a road trip, feeding the athletes, the timing for getting there, all of those things, which I hadn't done before. And I was like, all of those things, we're trying to figure out how do we win on the road? What works best? And all of those things in my first year, I'm just learning that stuff down, coming up with a schedule and doing those things. So that was difficult and understanding, hey, I think that first year we traveled to Guelph that last game, played them, went home and then had to travel back to Laurier. So it was like, you know, it's a lot on your student athletes and how you're going to practice. So that was a learning curve for me that first year. And then you put together your off-season program. right? And everybody's like, okay, what are we doing? What? And I'm like, I don't know what we're doing. We'll figure it out when we get there, right? But everybody wants a plan. And I'm like, well, let's hold off. I'm trying to figure this out on the run, but not letting them know I know what I'm doing, and doing those things. But over this past year, our record wasn't better, but I do think some of the wins that we got at the back end and the learnings that we got was starting to instill and starting the guys in the locker room now, after we worked in January and we were together for that full year and they knew what the offseason looked like, they started to come together. And then the foundation as a coaching staff we were putting together, they were starting to now build on that. And I could see it by the end of this year. We didn't get the win that we wanted at the end of the year, winning in the playoffs. And, you know, playing hard and playing close means absolutely nothing. We're here to win the games. But I can start to see that maturation, and I can start to see the guys in the locker room starting to take ownership of that. And that's, you know, as a coach, that's what you want to see.
Mm-hmm. You can certainly see, even just from a bystander, you look out onto the field, you see the energy that the kids have on the field. They seem like they're bought in. The culture is there, and they seem like they're right there. And I think that goes right back to, of course, you. And, you know, you talk about you have to do everything, but you own that culture and you own that team chemistry. And I think that speaks volumes to who you are as a person and who you are as a coach, just to pump your tires just a little bit here.
Thank you.
But you start off, I'm going way back here. You get drafted by the Hamilton Tiger Cats in 1999 and bring us the last great cup, I believe, that Hamilton has seen for a little while. So that hurts me a little bit, but you're part of that team. You then obviously you go off to win another great cup with Saskatchewan here, an 11-year career, unbelievable player in that regard. And the interesting part to me is that while you're playing in Saskatchewan, you actually start your coaching career with the Niagara Spears, starting things off in 2005 to 2010 as the OC going into that. Now, obviously, you've had a lot of different experiences. You were with me on that 2011 McMaster team when we won a Vanier Cup as well, which was an unbelievable experience. But going to Halton Cowboys, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, coming back to Mac, bringing us another Yates Cup for the first time since 2014, and now going into your position here at Carleton, you've obviously had your hands in a multitude of different areas when it comes to football, whether that's playing in pro or coaching amateur. What are some of the things that you've taken from your experiences there that have led you into being the new head coach for the Carleton Ravens?
Oh my goodness. Since you went way back, you know what? Every step and every bit on the journey, I learned something new, right? And I take something with me, and sometimes I don't see it right there and then, but some of those lessons that I do have, I can now use in my coaching career when I'm coaching my coaches now, helping them out, my coordinators and my staff, and even the players in the room. I tell our guys in here, right? When I, even going back before Halton at Laurier, I wasn't a great student. I almost flunked out of school. And if I didn't get things together at Laurier and do those things, I'm not sitting in this chair. Right. I'm not the head coach and I don't get all those other things going on. I would just be another kid that was really good at football and then flunked out and then doing whatever. Right. So I use those lessons along the way to now instill as I start to build this culture thing and sitting here as the head coach, giving those lessons. I don't want student athletes to go through what I went through, almost flunking out and not being able to attain their dreams. Even coaching with the Spears, I thought I was ready and I knew everything and I had the biggest playbook in the world and giving them stuff all the time and doing those things. But I've learned from that experience, less is more, right? So each step along the way, and even back then, going to Mac and learning from P the first time and then coming back as a receiver coach. And you always think I'm ready to become a head coach. And I applied for many jobs, head coaching jobs. But looking back at it, when I applied, I wasn't ready. Right. So those lessons, because I had more lessons to learn to prepare me to be able to sit in the seat now. So now I have that knowledge that I can pass on to our student athletes about the importance of school, the importance of studying, the importance of the little details and doing that, and the different coaches that I've been around at amateur and at the pro level to actually how to build a culture. Right. When things aren't going well, maybe if I was younger, I'd be just getting off and just being mad, but understanding there's a process to it. And as much as coaches, I want to take the job and go win a Vanier Cup and a Yates Cup and do all those things and win playoff games right away. understanding that there is a process to it. And the bigger process, the bigger thing for me, and I think I said it's one of my coaches the other day, was if we're always going to be, we're going to be judged by wins and losses. But if that's the only thing we internalize as coaches, then we're going to miss out on a whole lot of other things. So are the kids getting better? Are they graduating? Today we had study hall and some academic mentorship, and to see the amount of guys that were coming, because I was like, this is going to help you because I want you here for 4 years. This is, we need to do this. These things are going to help us. So those lessons I've learned over long-winded over the time from different coaches and different places I've been. And now I'm just taking those and hopefully being able to pass on that knowledge to the student athletes and the coaches, so this game of football could continue to grow.
And in talking about that philosophy, and whether it's in coaching or in teaching, you know, that buy-in can be so important. And you touched on that when you talked about year one there for you, about how perhaps some of the older players were having a bit of trouble at the start of the season. And, you know, that's obviously a generation of football players that dealt with the COVID break and everything like this, and the six game season, and a new face is coming in. And so in some ways, hey, it's understandable that maybe whomever it's coming in, they're a little just skittish perhaps. But looking at that idea of just buy-in from the standpoint of, or I say a lot to say this, which is that you have a very young team. Like when we went through this roster in our preseason conversations, the big thing in specific was how young the O-line was. Now you got a good veteran on that O-line anchoring it down, who, you know, depending on, and you'd know better than me if draft time is going to be a big thing for that young man. But overall, it's a really young team, and that's where we were unsure of where this season was going to go. A couple guys, yes, we might be seeing come draft day, you know, the Ife Onyekas, the Louis Laveaux, a couple other guys that just had tremendous seasons. And we definitely want to dive into some of the individual talent, because at the end of the day, it's all about the players. Yep. But just from that standpoint, new coach, the philosophy that you're talking about, that seems to be that process over product, which I very much am a fan of, and I love that that's what you're bringing there. How much does that impact, or how much is that impacted by the fact that you have a fairly young team in getting them to buy in?
And I don't look at them as young, because we are who we are, right? And the kids, they just want to, and it doesn't matter whether they're young or they're old, they want to just, they got to believe in you and trust in you that you're doing the best thing. And all across football, football players want to be coached, and they want to be coached hard with the discipline and those, that expectations. And then you have to, as a coach, you want to make sure that your values and whatever you're standing by, you stand on that. And then that's your belief, and you ride with that. And if they can see that you're going to help them in every possible way, any athlete will run through you, whether it's pros, whether it's the first year guy or the fifth year guy in this room, but you got to build that trust coming out and not seeing that you trust in them. You got to believe in them. They'll believe in you. And then you're going to work for them. And everything, they need to see that everything that you're doing is to help them, not just on the football field, but in life. And if they can see that, and that you truly care and you care for your athletes, they're going to play for you. And so I don't look at them as young. I look at them as young men that are leaders and that are trying to get somewhere else better. And our job is to make sure that we're instilling what we need to for them to go out and, you know what, they come out and play hard. They do the work. And I will say this, and I will always say this, I am the best cheerleader in the world, and I'm going to cheer them on and do that stuff. But they're going to go out there, they're doing the work, they're lifting, they're running. We just have to set the direction, and they're taking off and running with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see, once again, I know we've been talking a little bit about going into the players and going into things here, but from your standpoint, you're coming in, and you come into even just starting at McMaster. You come into a McMaster program that's in 2019 dealt with a little bit of controversy. I think we can keep that nice and light like that. I dealt with a little bit there, but come in and establish the offense and establish this is the way that we're going to do things here. And you bring them to a Yates Cup and win against Western over West in London, which is not an easy thing to do. And I've talked to multiple people here from that McMaster team, because I still knew some guys from when I played and that. And they said, of course, having Coach Potasik back in the head coaching position, that meant the world to them, and that really changed things. But you specifically, as the offensive coordinator, what really lit the fire under the offense and changed the dynamic from that regard. When you're looking at a situation like that, and even now going into the Carlton Ravens here, there's so many different things that you could be looking at, whether that's your personnel, whether that's the coaches, whether that's whatever the case may be. How do you, from that standpoint, come into a new situation and prioritize, this is what needs to get done here, how do we be successful here? Or is it just kind of as things come up, you deal with them and you roll forward?
No, you come in with a plan, right? Because every season, like last season, going to be different than this season coming. So we don't just have this cookie cutter thing and say, this is how we're going to do it. We also have to adapt to our players. One of the biggest things, and I know we were talking a little bit before, is I'm a teacher, right? So how do we teach the information that we want our players to get to, right? Even like you brought up Mac and doing that piece, I had a great staff with me and everybody there helping, and Mr. Galloway doing his thing now too. And Coach P was there because we were together at the Ticats, and understanding that and just help put it together with so many, everybody on staff. But that's the other piece, is like even coming in here, it's just that communication piece, right? The players are going to play, but the only way that they can play and play fast is if they know what they're doing. So we have to be really great teachers and then motivators, right? And letting them, I want them, they're actually playing the game. So I want them to take some ownership over it. And when kids take ownership over it, now it becomes something that they're invested in. And now if they're invested in it, they're going to put their all into it, right? If it's something I'm always saying, you got to, you know, there's things that we got to do, but they got to also take ownership of that. And when they start to take that ownership and belief in it, things start to shoot off. So that's really coming in, but every year is different. If we have older guys or guys that have been in the system, you could give them a little bit more. If they're younger, then you got to pull it back. And then you just got to figure out as you go through the season, hopefully you can hit that crescendo right at the end when it's go time.
Well, certainly would have helped. Certainly, no doubt, helped having Coach Galloway, as you mentioned, because that man knows something about going into London and winning a Yates Cup championship. talking about this through line from Mac into your time at Carleton, because one of the things that just is so apparent is the caliber of quarterback you've got to work with and get to help them develop, starting with Andreas Duick, who's now on your staff, which was such an incredible thing that Tom pointed out and had a very funny kind of moment in freaking out about how awesome I thought that was, getting to come into the system at the tail end of Taron DeYoung's year, and now getting Tristan Lefebvre and the outstanding season that he had. And in tying these similarities together, also in offenses that from an outsider's perspective, and shoot, like any offensive coordinator who has a talent like that quarterback, what you'd think that you'd want to build it around that individual. But in what seems like from an outsider's perspective, offenses that really say, yeah, we are going to pass the ball, and you spread it out, much like how it was at Mac, where you would have Duick not just lock on to, you know, Xander Tuchinski or any one of those receivers who on their own are fantastic, much like with Lefebvre, you know, you could just lock into Kasim Ferdinand, you know, for 15 looks a game, but he gets it out to the Hunter Browns, the Tristan Reddys, the Frederick Hatchies, and that much more. Am I right in seeing there is a parallel between those styles? Is this something that you believe in as an offensive mind with Ryan through the quarterback, or is it, and maybe it's a bit of both, just where when you have such great talents, you have to try and capitalize that thoroughly in having someone like that on the field for you?
Yeah, I think, yeah, Coach Kobe does a great job of it, our offensive coordinator, right, and spreading it around. And it's easy in this game to say, I'm just going to lock on one guy, especially on the offensive side. But you want to make sure you have that balance. And it could be a little bit of he does a great job. I know playing quarterback when he was at that other place. We don't say that on the air, that other place, and a great quarterback. But then he was coming here and then being a receivers coach and doing those things. And myself as a receiver, a former receiver, like, shoot, everybody's open and doing those things. But the more well-rounded you are as a group, and this group really cares about each other, it helps the quarterback, right? The reads, the defense has now got to cover the whole field, and having that piece right there, I think that's really important. And Coach Sokobi and the offensive staff, they do a really good, great job of making sure guys are held accountable, know their assignments, doing their job. And then, you know, making sure, you know, Tristan doesn't have to lock on just the quarterback, doesn't have to just lock on one person, but he knows he can trust anybody that's on the field in those positions to make plays.
Mm-hmm. And when you start looking at this roster as a whole, especially when you're coming in here and you see some of these names, even, you know, you move on from De Jong and we have Tristan Lefebvre. Like we said, he was kind of a relative unknown at the time because De Jong he was obviously QB1. He was taking a lot of the reps. And then Lefebvre comes in and he has the season that he has. And Zach and I are looking at each other week to week going, holy, this kid is at least in the top five of the OUA when he's really on and when he's throwing and things. And then you start even looking over at the defensive side of things and having one of the best defensive lines that there is, even just between Lightbody and Onyeka. Like, those are two studs of defensive players here. And then obviously, like Zach pointed out, you got your Louis Laveaux, you got your Oppen Bronze. And when you just look at the talent that's on this Carlton Raven team, are you, as a coach, like foaming at the mouth, being like, we got so much potential here? Like, what is your initial reaction when you're coming in and you're seeing this for the first time or even going into this year?
It's great. Potential is always that coach killer, right? To have all that potential. So we don't talk about that, but we have guys that are here. And then when you see TL, we call him TL Tristan, but there's quarterbacks behind him that are pushing. Right. And we talk about in here, I don't want anybody feeling safe or secure in their job. He's competing for the starting job next year. There's a plethora of guys behind him that are going to push him. Right. And it's one of those things, and I've heard it and I know it's one of those cliches, but iron sharpens iron. If we want to be one of those upper echelon teams that are, you know, always competing for the bye and doing those things, we got to make sure we're bringing in the talent. And the coaching staff has done a really good job of that, of bringing in the talent to push those guys. And it's one of these things that I believe in. It doesn't matter what year you're in. If you can play, you're going to play, right? And it doesn't matter what position. If you can play, you're going to play. You're going to earn that spot and you can do those things. You're going to get an opportunity. So if you're first year coming in and you can come in and compete with a fifth year and you're better than you're going to play. So, and that's the competition, and that's those young men pushing each other in the locker room, and then knowing at any moment, well, coach will put somebody else in. And that just gets that competition, raises that level. So now we're competing against each other, getting each other better, and then hopefully that translates on the field and then get some more W's, and then we can start to move from that that middle of the pack to that upper echelon teams in the OUA that you see year after year after year.
Well, Coach, I think it's been too long in this conversation that I or Tom have not brought up the Panda. You know, we're year two into your tenure, and though you're above 500 on the whole, we're 0-2 in those Pandas, and perhaps not in a more heartbreaking fashion than what happened this past year against the other team. I don't know how y'all refer to the Ottawa GGs in the locker room around the program. I've had the chance to interview people from both programs over the course of our tenure doing this show, and it's made apparent there's no love lost. Stories guys have told me of, you know, if you're a Raven, you see a guy with GG gear walk on the same side of the street, you cross over to the other side of the street. If you guys are at a spot on a Saturday after the game, and there's, you know, Carlton Ravens guys there, you're from the Ottawa GG side of things, hey, maybe we'll find another spot. It's been made apparent, and when you tune into those games, it's made even more so how much this rivalry means to these two teams. What's it been like in your first 2 years playing there at TD Place with however many umpteen thousands of people there in the stands?
It has been absolutely amazing. I just put myself in it because when I first got here, you know, you got to win. It's like Labor Day. For the Ticats and doing those things in Toronto, it's that rivalry piece, and nobody cares about any other game except that game, right? You got to win that game. So I've been told that, and yes, we've been at the bad end of the last couple that I've been here, and I think the last five. So good on them. But just for both schools, for youth sport, for the sport in general, it is an amazing game, an amazing day for the city. To show off the city itself and then what U Sports can be, right? Getting over 20,000 between two rivalry schools going at it head to head. It's just amazing. And I can't to be 18, 19, 20, 21, to play in front of that, it brings chills, right? For both sides. And they've been really good games. And so excited about that piece. Yeah, we've been at that short end of it. You know, Coach Belfay coached me back in the CFL. He was my head coach with the Ticats and my coordinator. So he might have something on me. So I got to figure out what that is. But because he knows me probably better than I know myself in the terms of football. But it is an exciting game. And we'll put things together. And then hopefully this year we can be on the good end of it. But I'm sure before that game even happens, we got a whole bunch of games before that that we got to have to deal with. But, yeah, it is a special game. And it's something youth sports and every youth sport athlete should be able to play in front of crowds like that because it's special.
Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about the players and your journey here. I want to start diving into the 23 season. In my opinion, probably the toughest start to a season you guys had, because not only do you start off with Laurier and Western, but you get the bye week one. So that means an additional week of training camp, an additional week, potentially at least, of two-a-days or power practices or however you structure yourselves that way. And so guys are going, and even just in a regular training camp, when you're hitting the same guy over and over again for hours on end, you start chomping at the bit. You want to get going. And so to be denied that for another week, I'm sure is a difficult in itself. But then you go up against a Laurier and a Western team, both of which make it to the Yates Cup this past year, and you give them hell of a games. Both Laurier ultimately wins that one 20-15, and Western wins that one 31-21. But both of those games, you and your squad are in it to the dying seconds, it feels. And it is exciting as all hell. Talk to us about what was that like with the bye week starting off, and then two of the best teams ended up being the best teams in the OUA to start your season off.
Yeah, looking back at last year, and like when you're in it and they send up the schedule, you see it, you complain, then we're playing it, move on. That's what the cards were dealt, and we don't complain about it. That's who we got to play, and that's what they said, and we're going to show up and we're going to play. Now you get to sit back and then you get to reflect on it as you start to build for the new year, and you're like, yeah, that was pretty tough, especially with the bye and then not having a rest the whole time and going through, and then going against the two top teams, which – in the end, they were. But it was good. It was good for us. Again, we're building that foundation here, and we're going from there. So we want to continue to build on that. And, hey, the cards were dealt. We're going to play whoever they put in front of us and go from there. And that's who we are. That's what we're aspiring to be. And instead of being close, we want to start winning those games.
Well, and going back to just that it's all about those players on the field, you know, it's not uncommon that even in the time before you're there, Carlton gives pretty good fights, especially at home against those Western Mustangs. But, you know, talking about those players on the field that, you know, make this such a joy for us all to play the relative parts that we all do, you know, I've yet to bring up the name of one of my favorite players over the last 5 years, and that's your guy, Josh Ferguson. And, you know, you've had, you know, the 2 years with them from the Niagara area, so perhaps a bit of that connection in terms of just that part of the province, and just seeing, though, perhaps the run game didn't get as heavily off the ground the way your passing attack was, how great it was knowing that, you know, and it's astonishing going back to the youth piece of it, he's the only fifth year player listed on your whole darn roster, if I read that thing correctly. But then being able to see from, once again, the outside perspective, how you see a younger guy like Alex Gale start to come up, and just, you know, I love to just hear what you have to say about Ferguson's role as one of the veteran players bridging, you know, a gap. You know, you connect his time to being the young guy when Nathan Carter was the old man running back there. Like, he kind of bridges the gap to when this program first came back, when you really, like, pulled the strings on it. And just thinking about some of that youth, I would love to hear you speak on the type of individual Josh Ferguson is.
Oh, I can't say enough about him. He absolutely amazing, put his body through so much on the line, trusted to come back, you know. You're a first-year head coach. You're not sure if the older guys are going to come back, if they have eligibility. He's like, Coach, I'm coming back. I want to go one more at it. We had a conversation about if he was looking to go to the CFL or if he was done football. He's like, Coach, I want to try, right? So having him and he's a quiet leader. He just does everything right. Comes in, takes care of his body in the meeting rooms, is leading that way. He's not the vocal guy in the locker room, but the players could see what it means to be a Raven. And even I, like, guys, I always say, I'm learning because I'm new to the Ravens. And seeing what that tradition meant and the running and doing that things. And no, we didn't run as well as we wanted to. right? And our running game wasn't as well as our passing game, and we want to work on those things. But he didn't complain one bit. And he didn't care if it was him or Alex getting the ball. He was there cheering on, and he gave it everything he had, which was absolutely amazing. And, you know, the old man, we used to call him, with his knees and not practicing and doing those things. You want to take some time off? No, I'm in. And he'd do everything he needed to do to prepare himself to play and give us everything he had on game day, which was a testament to who he is as a character, and just awesome human being. And can't say enough great stuff about him. And glad I was able to be a part of his journey in football for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting with that regard. He sounds like he is a direct representation of your entire team here based off what we really saw going into the season. Like we see it, like I said before, two very close games against the top two teams in the OUA. And then you roll your way through the two Toronto teams here, establishing yourselves and feeling that confidence. You get into Panda, you get into Queens. Obviously, those were a tough couple of games. And then what I feel really represented you and your team are the last two games of the season here. You play against Waterloo, you play against Guelph, you win both games by a grand total of 3 points, and it comes down to the wire both times, but the entire time, there's never a sense of give up or we're losing this or whatever the case from your team. And even through the losses that you had this season, it's still the same kind of feeling that there is such a feeling of, you know what, we're tough enough to get through this and we're going to battle through this. Specifically going into the last two games of this regular season here, what was the atmosphere like? How are you dealing with keeping those nerves down? Because you're always nervous for a game, but especially when you're in close and you're down by just a couple of points going into the fourth quarter. What's that message like to the team to make sure they stay on track and to win those last two games in the season?
It's the guys in the locker room. Like I said, we just set the foundation as a coaching staff. We try and stay as calm as possible. Sometimes I get a little jittery on the sideline, but the guys are believing in each other and they're starting to trust in each other. Right. And they're a tight knit locker room. They're a group that really, really starting to bond really well. And so even those last two games, the guys are starting to believe like, oh, we're going to win. They don't know how it's going to happen, but they know they've seen everything. We practice and we go through different scenarios and do all that stuff. But there's just a sense of, oh no, we're going to win. They're just like, oh, we're going to win. We just have give us the ball back on offense. We'll do defense, get the ball back, you know, doing those things and special teams. Let's go kick the field goal and do what we got to do. So they have that. They're just starting to get that. And one of the things, I think somebody asked me the other day, where are you? And I said, we're still learning to win. Right. And that comes with just understanding how to win. And in those moments, believing that you're going to win and then doing those things. So at the end of the season, they're starting to see that, okay, this is how you win. You know, you don't give up. You got to do the little things, the details and all of those things that coach is talking about. And they're starting to repeat. They're starting to see those things over and over start to come true. So now as we start to learn to win, we start to get that confidence. We start to believe. And then, shoot, anything can happen on any given Sunday or Saturday, actually. And Sundays is when Panda is. That's why I said that. But any given Saturday. And then we're building from there, right? So it's a lot of that belief thing and then going from there. So it's still, like I always go back to the players in the locker room. Because as coaches, I can put up all the slogans I want and say all this and that. But it's internally of what they're internalizing and then actually going out on the field and doing it.
I love that messaging because it reminds me so much of what Stu Lang used to talk about. And I've told this story now or repeated this idea so many times on our podcast. But that idea that when you're building up a program, there's that point where those 50-50 games, you go from being on the losing end of it, just a few too many of them, to all of a sudden on the winning side. And when you start to see that, that's where you're then in that position to then make that jump, as you had mentioned earlier, into that sort of upper echelon, that contender status. And once again, not even to blow smoke, just as people who perhaps consume more OUA content than anyone else, me and Tom are so bullish on just where your team's projecting at right now. And looking at these 2 years, what's so fascinating, as Tom highlighted, the way you ended the season, is that we can go back to that year prior and still see a similar end of the season on that positive trajectory. There was one game, though, I'm curious of highlighting because it speaks to maybe a larger conversation, and maybe the extent of it's not can't be completed in this time frame here. But was when Windsor came to your house about mid-season last year, and you guys picked up one of what I thought was the most impressive wins all year. Windsor's, you know, coming out like a bat out of heck, just looking like this outstanding team, and they've clearly kept up with that, you know, with what Coach Cercelli's been building over there. And as a minor aside, me and Tom both commented that seeing you and Coach Cercelli as these, you know, new coaches across the sidelines in that playoff game was so cool, and just loving what you're both building at your respective schools. But that game, midway point through the 22 season, you guys pick up the win at home 24-7. And one of the major things, not to take away from the performance of your team, but that's so fascinating whenever there's a Windsor-Carlton, Windsor-Ottawa game, just goes back to that travel piece. And obviously, you haven't had to do it the other way yet. Maybe you've talked to your guy, Coach Belfay, about any, I don't know if he'd give you any secrets, but like, as far as that planning piece, like that is certainly one of the great disadvantages in the OUA if you are Windsor or Ottawa Carlton when you do have one other on your schedule. What thoughts have you had, if any, or just in general on that subject? Because it's just something that most coaches have something akin to it, but really that's, it's what, eight hours, is it? Like,
no, it's like 10. We went there for the playoffs game, and it was a good journey.
Yeah, of course you went there for the playoff game. What am I talking about? You had it. Yeah. My apologies. Yeah. What is that like? Sorry. My apologies. Yes.
No, you're good. You forgot about it. I forgot it. No, I watched the film again the other day and started losing my mind. No. No, there's a lot into it. And like my first year, I didn't know. Like, I'm like, I don't know. We leave at 12 o'clock. Well, coach, you're not going to get there until 12 at night. The guy's got to sleep and eat. And when are you going to stop the bus? And they got to get out and walk and get off their feet. And then when you get there, you're going to lose a day of practice. And when are you going to practice? Because you want to practice here. You can't practice in Windsor because they're watching you, right? Maybe. stuff like that. So you do have to take all of those things into consideration as you go. A lot of it for me, like, I haven't had to make that. Well, we did the playoff game. We went a little bit early. But, yeah, you have to take all those things in because you're thinking of our student athletes. And sitting on a bus for 10 hours is not fun for anyone. And then the big boys, they want to get off. And then do you bring food on? Do you let them go and eat? And then you can't find them again. So, yeah, all of that comes in. Like I said, my first year, I was just figuring it out. And then my second year, last year, I'm like, I think I got it. No, I don't have it because everything's different. So, no, I don't think Coach Belfay will help me out with that. I might trick him into telling me how that works out. But, yeah, you do have to plan it. It is, like I said, in the playoff game, we are fortunate enough to get down there early. But it's still, when you get there, it's like, how much time do you give them to themselves? How much time do you take to watch film to get them off their legs? Some guys, and, you know, as student athletes, that's probably the best bed they've slept in all year. So that piece, or you're trying to get, you know, you're saying bedtime's at this time, you know, curfew, but some guys are night hawks. Some guys want, you know, so you're trying to work all those things out as you go and then worry about playing a football game on top of that. So there's a lot of planning that goes into it. I don't know if there's a secret thing unless we get a plane and fly down. Yeah. That's what we got here. And then I think, I don't know if he'll tell me how they do it when they come this way, if I ever got to go that way, if he'll give me the ins and outs about it.
Yeah, well, certainly that's something that, you know, we talk about in the larger scheme of things. That's some of the reasons why, obviously, you want to come in first when you're, you know, in that upper echelon. You don't have to travel as much. And I, with that in mind, I did want to have some point in time to talk to you about this, and I think this is a nice little transition into it. The most recent playoff edition here, how this ran this year with the seven teams instead of the six teams, and you lose that second place bye, so it only goes to the first round team, but you get the additional team in there. How does that affect? Is that something that you're, you know, happy about because there's more teams in the playoffs and there's more parity there? Or are you mad about that because you lose the additional playoff opportunity there? Obviously, you always want to come in first, but whatever. Yeah. Do you have any strong feelings either way about the OUA schedule and how the playoffs have worked out in that regard?
No, I only know what I know. So I just want to get in. I just want to get into the dance. However they said it, I just want to get into the dance. It'd be great to get the first. You know what? If you do, and it's just me, if you do what you have to do and you beat who you need to beat and you get a first round bye, then you deserve that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like if you go out and you put in the work through the regular season, make it mean something, And then you get that first round. Why, guess what? You deserve that, and you deserve that rest. And then you go take on who you got to go take on and play. And then the rest of us battle it out. So if you want to get the first round bye, go and win. Do what you got to do during the regular season and do that. But to me, I just want to get into the dance. Wherever we are, we get into the dance, and then we'll go fight our way out and do what we got to do on the other end of it. But yeah, the more games and the more football we can see being played and making the regular season really, really mean something, I think that's important to keep developing our game and especially our conference, so that when we get to that next, that we can go out and keep winning Vanier Cups and be the dominant conference. Mm-hmm. Did I say that out loud?
That's okay. We've been saying it out loud for 5 years now, so.
Yeah, we've been riding high on the tune of Western let us all down this past year, but you don't have to comment on that one, Coach. Last thing I want to ask you before I leave it to Tom to wrap up with whatever he has, you know, the work you do off the field in a variety of community initiatives is extensive. You know, be it with the OUA Black Biracial Indigenous Committee, with the OUA's United Against Racism campaign, the Women in Football Initiative at MAC when you were there, and the list goes on and on. We talk about your time here at Carleton and sort of that long vision of kind of what you're projecting out in the time you've been here. When it comes to the work you're doing, I don't want to say off the field, because it does obviously relate to things on the field, but in that kind of binary sense, if you'll let me there, what are some of the, in the same way we look at, you know, a 3, 5, 10-year plan as a coach, as far as the football team, when you look at some of those initiatives, and obviously those aren't, they're different, it's not everything being the same, but just generally speaking, what are some of the things you're hoping to see come to pass in perhaps in very tangible sense in the coming future?
Great question. Like, for me, I just want to be someone that shows that we're not just football players and football coaches, right? And we got some great coaches in this league across Canada that do so many things. But we also want to make sure our student athletes, because not everybody's going to be a coach, not everybody's going to be a pro player and do those things, but you can be more than just a football player, right? You can be an advocate. You know, you're going to university, you can be great students. They're going to be CEOs and doing those things, and how important it is to give back to your community, right? And whether it's just your university community and then expands from that, or your greater community outside your university, but making sure we're developing the whole athlete holistically, and myself letting them see me not just in the one light of head coach football, that no, coach does have other things that he's interested in. He's a family man, I'm a father, a brother, all of those things, a husband, and letting them see you and hopefully see me as more than just their head coach in front of them, right? That he is doing an interest in other things. And how can I do that? How can I get involved? And then for me, it's really important to, as I'm doing those different things and have a vision of doing a lot of things with Carleton at Carleton University, and also getting our athletes into our greater community, is making sure I'm growing this game of football and growing the opportunities for these young men that come into this program, not just when they're here, but growing it so then when they leave, they have different opportunities, whether it's in education, whether it's in community work and doing those things. So it's really important that they see that coming from me, and then I can hopefully help them along the way, along their journey and their life's journey. So yeah, we're not just football coaches, you know, we are bigger than just that, and hopefully we can show that. And hopefully I can do my little part, you know, as, I can never, and maybe Tom, you can help me. Coach P always had that saying, right? You know, we want to change our little corner, right? And do our little piece there. And then hopefully we can expand that and expand that ripple and make it even bigger than that, right? So we want to take care of in-house and then expand it. And I think we're doing a good job with these young men in here. And if we can continue to do that, and I can be sort of a conduit to that, then I hopefully the work that I'm doing off the field will help them see that vision and continue to grow.
Yeah, and I think absolutely the work that you are doing now is so incredible and so important. I've heard so many people talk about the different opportunities that they have, certainly with the coaches that you had, that you brought on with the women's program into McMaster, and how unbelievable they have enjoyed their experiences and what they've been able to do with those opportunities. And so creating those different opportunities for people who hadn't had that is, I'm sure, something that you could certainly hang your hat on and something you should feel very proud of, because it's not very many people who come into this thinking that they're going to create these other opportunities. And I just wanted to really say, I'm so happy that Zach brought that up, but really just to give you your flowers there, because you make the game better when you do things along those lines. So
thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to take that quick second to say that. Shifting gears a little bit to talk a little bit into 2024. Now, obviously, the team is pretty damn young. You might have some possibilities of losing some guys, but overall, you're going to have a lot of returners. Tristan Lefebvre with another year under his belt, and like you said, with that mentality of continuously trying to fight and earn for that spot here, it's going to be a very exciting time to be a Carleton Raven fan going into this next year, certainly. When it comes into the recruiting piece of things, now obviously, when we were coming out, we saw this a little bit in the last year with the Quebec teams having, and Quebec tuitions being raised as much as they are. Now, suddenly being in the Ottawa area, a lot of people don't understand. You got a French speaker, they have the opportunity to go RSEQ or the OUA. That might just tick them a little bit more to staying in the OUA and hopefully staying at home here. Have you noticed anything different in terms of the recruiting sense since that happened? I know we're still pretty early on, but recruiting in Ottawa, especially with the GGs being right down the door, is its own little challenge, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is definitely a challenge. They do a great job over there of recruiting the CJEPs and doing his thing. And Coach Belfay's, they know what they're doing over there. They do a really good job. Me coming here and being new and being in Hamilton that whole time, and even being where I was before, we didn't recruit as much in Quebec and CJEP. So even for me coming here, that was new, right? And just my big thing is, like, you want to win the city and do a good job of recruiting home, but then we're also splitting that home with someone else down the road, right? So that makes it a little bit difficult. We do notice with the few of the guys, because we do have some guys in here that were thinking about going to CJEP, but instead stayed here and you know, stayed with us at Carleton, and they'll be real big contributors probably coming this coming season and doing those things. So we do see that piece, but it is difficult when you got the school down the road, you know, and you're both recruiting the same individual and doing those things. But that's the fun part of it, right? And that's the competition within the competition, right? Mm-hmm. Making sure we want to get those best athletes here that are going to come here and work and do their things. But, you know, obviously, and honestly, convincing young men to come to your program and to entrust in you that you're going to help them get to whatever it is that they want to get to, that's the fun part too. Because when you get that call and they commit, you're like, okay, you're trusting in me. I got you. Mm-hmm. Let's go do this together, right? And then sometimes they call you and say, no, we're not coming, and you wish them all the best and say, all right, we're going to have to see you on the field. So recruiting is tough, but we have seen a little bit of a shift of it. Not a lot yet, but, you know, we're going with that balancing act and really doing our best to, you know, get those athletes that want to come here, and then we'll go from there and build.
Mm-hmm. And just, sorry, right before you chime in there, Zach, I just want to have one little follow-up question here. Obviously, you've got the Carleton Ravens and the Ottawa GGs and all of the other amazing schools that are in the OUA and CJEP and the RSEQ, and there's a lot of competition out there. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but a little bit of an elevator pitch. What is it about Carleton that, in your mind, makes it so special, and why should kids come there so that we can pump Carleton Ravens when we put this out?
Hey! Okay, let me go right now. No, I think it's a great university. The support that the student athletes get when they come here is second to none, right? And I talk about it to them all the time about when you come here, I'm helping support you when you get in here. But when you get here, the support that you're going to get, because I want you here for 4 years, 4 or 5 years. And the reason I'm going to do that is we're going to make sure that we support you academically. We're going to give you the best academic support possible, whether it's tutoring, whether we're doing our study hall, and I'm sure everybody's doing those things. But then it's also that other piece of that academic support, being part of our mentorship program with our varsity athletes that are currently here that can help you honestly navigate, because they've been through it before, right? And doing that piece, the support that we get from the university itself is second to none, right? Because everybody wants to see our student athletes, when they come here and join this program, succeed when they get here. And then our old crows are absolutely amazing. And our old crows are guys that have graduated from the Carlton Ravens program, and then they're giving that help and that mentorship, whether it's for jobs, resume writing, and doing those things to help them not only succeed when they're here, but then when they're leaving to get into the real world, as they call it, that support is there. And then you're indoctrinated into that old crow society that is going to help you for the rest of your life. And football wise, listen, we're going to work, right? And if you want to work, this is the place you're going to be, because we're going to make sure that we're going to put you through and prepare you for whatever it is that you want to. And athletically, I'm going to say this, right? I'm going to point this way. You don't know what I'm pointing at, but down the hall are some championship basketball culture. And that culture doesn't just stop with the basketball team. That is the whole athletic center, with our basketball team down the hall, and then our soccer team. So winning here is embedded. Now you're becoming part of this football program. We want to be part of that. We're part of that culture, and we're trying to build on that culture here and get that winning mentality that is throughout this whole building, part of this football program, and going out there and winning. But it's not just winning on the field, it's winning off the field, right? So why people want to be coming here, the support that you're going to get to that next level, whatever it is, we're going to give you that support, and we're going to care for you, and we're going to love you, but we're going to push you hard. We're going to hold you accountable, and then we're going to hold you to a standard of excellence, and we're going to ask for you for that each and every single day. And all I ask is I ask you for to get 1% better. I'm not asking you for 2, 3, 1% better every day. And if you get 1% better, that's going to take you to where you got to go, right? And that's what it's going to mean. And you're going to learn what it means to be a Raven. It's going to learn what it means to be a Raven, and you're going to be willing to put in that hard work. We're going to put you through it, and we're going to get you better every single day.
Give me that Carlton Raven shield. I'm ready to go, coach.
Let's go. Now, I didn't give you championships. I didn't talk about being championships, and I didn't talk about all of that other stuff. That just comes with it. That's the process, right? We're going to put in the work. How it falls and how the scoreboard goes is going to take care of itself. But we are just going to go through that process. Nothing's going to happen overnight, and nothing's easy, and we don't want anything easy. Nothing is given to us. We're going to work for everything. You work to get into school. We're going to make you work when you get here, because you're going to be prepared for life after. We're going to prepare you and lay the foundation for you to be great, and that's a building process. W's and L's are going to take care of itself. Championships are going to take care of itself. We're going to prepare you to be better and get you ready for life. Everything else will take care of itself on the way. And if a championship and winning comes along that's just a byproduct of the hard work you're going to put in when you get here.
Hey, man, I'm right there with Tom. I'm fired up, coach. And hey, you add up that 1% every day, before you know it, that'll get you somewhere. Mm-hmm. He's the 14th head coach in the history of the Carlton Ravens football program. Coach Corey Grant, thank you so, so much for taking time out of your no doubt immensely busy schedule to spend some time with a couple fans, honestly and truly, because we certainly love what you've been doing these 2 years and look forward to seeing what you can build moving forward. So, coach, thank you again.
Thank you, guys. This has been an honor. Appreciate the work that you're doing. This was a blast. I could probably stay on here for another hour and just talk some football and do all that stuff. The guys told me to tell you guys that we're not really working or doing anything. We took all of January off, and we're just putting our feet up, and we'll probably get started about March or something like that.
Yeah, no work at all. GGs, you can just lull yourself into a false sense of security there. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Well, with that, it wraps up episode 6 of the exit meeting interviews, and it just so happens to be the one before we speak with those Ottawa GGs. So that's who you'll be hearing Tom and I speak to on the next episode. So we'll speak to you right here at the 55.